sunshine, tears and rain, precious memories of years gone by. Eyes of darkness, fear and pain, all the time that we had. When all that's left is a photograph, not one golden moment in the sun.
Hello, media masochists! Welcome back to season two of The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I watch some of the crappiest television shows in history in an effort to discover which is the absolute worst. I'm Matt Murphy, and I'm hereby waiving my right to remain silent. with me is Rachel.
Hello.
She's a film studies major and former audiovisual librarian.
That's true.
Great. We also have Alex.
Hi.
She's production IT and general media garbage enthusiast.
This was difficult for me.
To be a media garbage enthusiast?
No, this.
To record this.
This one.
This episode.
Ah, I see. And finally, we have Tachi, the human IMDb.
Yes, my name is Tachi, and I'm gonna sing for you.
More of that in future episodes.
Oh, God.
Wow. That's
a big well. Promise.
It's a guarantee.
Or is it a threat?
So we just watched the very first episode of the 1990 show Cop Rock.
That's not 90s. It's 1990 show. Because that's when it lasted.
And also, the episode we watched was titled Pilot.
Which had nothing to do with airplanes. I was pretty upset.
Yeah.
There
was one helicopter.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
But it didn't sing at all.
No.
Yes. Yeah, so, since we're already delving into the premise of the show, Tachi, why don't you access the internet and read us the back of the DVD box?
What's beautiful about this DVD box is that before you get to the description, it says this. Part singing, part dancing, all cop.
Oh, God.
Just process that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Here we go. Stephen Bochco, yes, everyone, that's Stephen Bochco, Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, brings you another bold take on the police procedural genre with the provocative and notorious Cop Rock. That part is true. Combining the gritty, character-driven drama Bochco fans expect with the pulsating rock and show-stopping grandeur of musical theater... including, I already have things to say, including songs composed by Grammy, Emmy, and Oscar winner Randy Newman. Yes, that Randy Newman. Mm-hmm. Cop Rock followed the lives of detectives and officers who didn't just walk the beat, but had the slick moves to keep the beat as well.
No.
The word slick was in bold font, by the way. Cop Rock is finally on DVD. A cause for both celebration and a long overdue reappraisal of a series that has been called one of the most unusual programs of all time.
Okay.
Reopen the investigation today on one of television's most talked about series, Cop Rock. There's a lot of true statements in here. It's just not in the way they want it to be
true. It is copping to a lot of the problems that the series has.
A very good... copywriter wrote that, and like really, that was a polished turd right there.
I've been waiting years to watch this because this show really does live in infamy as one of the famously embarrassing moments of television history.
And what do you guys think? Is it worthy of its reputation?
Shit.
Absolutely. Okay, can I talk now?
You can talk.
I need to
rant
about this thing.
Yeah.
This was so disappointing. They promised me cops singing. And did the episode have any cops singing?
Nope. Zero.
It had singing.
Hey.
The forensic guy, he sang.
Yeah.
But not during work hours.
Yeah, not about cop stuff.
No. And, I don't want to get there yet, but I have a whole list of when they did sing versus when would have been a better choice.
Almost every time. They don't sing would have been a better choice than the times they do
sing.
Okay,
how much musical theater do you guys know?
Medium.
Yeah, medium.
Okay, I grew up with a sister who was a little obsessed with musical theater, and my family had season tickets to the Amundsen to go and see musical theater, so I've seen a lot of shows.
All right.
Now, the thing about musical theater is you sing about the dramatic things that are going on, and you tell the story through song.
No, you just sing
this
as an interlude from the story.
This show did not do that at all. It was like, none of it was for dramatic tension, none of it was for romance, it was not well done.
It was really random.
See, now I thought the show did a fantastic job of building tension, because we were all sitting here going, and now they're going to sing, and now they're going to sing. This is the scene where you sing, and then they cut to something else.
And when it's true, all of that did happen.
And then when we weren't expecting a song, that's when they happened.
So, like, the episode opens on, like, police raiding a house.
It's not just a house. It is a den of crime.
It's a crack house.
Except that they don't say it's a crack house.
It's implied.
It's implied that it's a crack house, but, like...
And they do a bad job of it.
Yes.
Like, they illegally break the door down before they even, like, knock on the door.
But it's good of all the perps in the house that while they're getting arrested, they are dropping exposition like mad. Or the lady who like gives us the entire backstory of her history with her baby while being arrested.
Patty, she will be an important character in this episode.
Yes, and two more episodes.
Whoa, someone read
IMDb because she was like, oh, this actress, I've seen her in other things.
And now you might think to yourself, musicals generally open with a big musical number. Right. A raid on a crack house would be a great big musical number. But no, the musical number happens after they raid the crack house. When they're dragging the guy they've arrested outside, he just randomly bursts into song.
And it's rap. It's a rap.
So every single person in this crack house is black, except for the lady with the baby.
And the other woman. So the women are white.
The women are white. And then there's everyone who gets arrested, except for those two ladies, are black. And that is
it's problematic.
And not only is that problematic, but it's a pattern that continues throughout the show.
Well, there is the black judge, but he also has a musical number.
There's at least one or two black cops as well, but it doesn't really help that they're saying all criminals are black. So yeah, so the song they rap out is "We on these streets, we got the power."
In these streets.
Oh, in these. Oh,
in
well.
These streets, we got the power.
And they're just sort of saying like, "We're the baddest ones around, and no one stopped us before now."
Yeah, it doesn't really set up the episode.
No, it doesn't say anything. It's like, we have the power, but it you're does, being arrested.
It does what? Set up the crooked cops.
It does set up the crooked cops. And this is the LAPD that we should mention.
So I want to mention a few things. You mentioned how in the house they were dropping all the exposition. I have a feeling the production company hired an amateur Walla crew to like do all the background sound. And that's what happened, because there is entirely too much Walla happening in this whole episode.
Yes.
And explain Walla.
Walla is like, so when you're on set, everybody but the main characters are quiet and they pretend to have conversations. And then afterwards, actors come in and do Walla or ADR, which is they walk around and they provide all of the background sound for what's going on in the scene. So like if you're in a park, it might be, you know, people playing sports. If you're in a crime scene, I guess it would be people flushing drugs.
So let's provide some Walla, everybody. Walla.
Flush the piece.
You actually do talk. You have banal conversations.
Peas and carrots.
Oh, stop.
Rhubarb, watermelon.
Uh-huh. Okay, sure.
Wow, that was an intense philosophical discourse in Walla right there. So right after they bust these perps, we cut to the intro theme.
Living Under the Gun.
Living Under the Gun, sung by Mr. Randy Newman of Toy Story fame.
I would have liked this song a lot more if it didn't take me half the song to understand what he was saying.
Yeah, he sounds...
Randy Newman, that's what he sounds like.
He just always sounds like he's drunk.
Under the gun.
Yeah. That was a decent impression, yeah.
Thank you. So, this is hard to describe, but... I don't know, back in this day, back in the 80s and the 90s, there were lots of music videos where they kept the concept simple. You'd have the singer performing, and then you would cut to people in the room just kind of nodding along like, yeah, they're killing it. My favorite example is Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time, where he's singing, and every now and then it cuts to Rick James just nodding like, yeah, Eddie can sing. This is kind of Randy Newman's Party All the Time. Bit of a deep cut. Look it up, everyone.
That makes a lot. I get your jive.
Thank you.
I know what you're talking about.
So then, like, the episode picks up into, like, a crowded office. And, like, this is where the Walla comes in. Because this is the most active police office. There's just people moving everywhere and people talking everywhere and noises. And you,
Were we in the police office or the courtroom first?
Oh, maybe it was the courtroom.
I think it was the courtroom, and I've never heard more excited perpetrators.
Yes, they're right. they're getting indicted, and the prosecutors are trying to get them locked up, but the judge is reluctant to do so because of overcrowding in the prison, which has been determined to be unconstitutional due to its inhumanity. Which, by the way, problem we still have here in California.
topical.
As soon as he says, like, yes, they're going to be... I'm sorry, this is their arraignment, not their indictment.
Yeah.
And so as soon as they get arraigned, they get released on their own recognizance.
Except for the women,
because overcrowding is not in the prison, in the women's prison.
Yeah.
Lady Cop was given the baby in the raid. And Lady Cop is very...
She's a sucker.
She's concerned about the baby in all of this.
No one's interjecting to give the name because none of us know her name.
I think it was Vicky.
Vicky.
Was it? Lady Cop.
Lady Cop.
She's the Lady Cop.
She's the only Lady Cop. There's multiple black cops, but there's only one Lady Cop.
Highlander.
Oh, God. She has the whole locker room to herself? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
So they do a lot of stuff setting up in like the first 15 minutes. Like we get like a light speed introduction to all our characters. We're introduced to the plot points. The prisons are overcrowded and all these character pairings are out on patrol. And I guess the cop force is like full of steamy forbidden romance.
Yeah. All partners have, you know, underlying sexual tension.
Yeah, that would have been a great place for a song.
When the two cops were driving and having sex banter?
Yes.
Okay.
No. When he dropped her off at home.
Oh, that's much later on, though.
I know, but we were talking about that.
I thought we were talking about when Lady Cop and her partner were driving and he was asking her about sex. But he said,
oh, yeah.
But he said, make love. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Because it seemed worth it at the time.
It did. Didn't know he was about to die.
Ooh, looking at my notes.
He didn't, though.
Wait,
that wasn't the one who died.
All right, I might have had a little trouble telling the white cops apart.
They all looked exactly the same.
I'm not even joking.
All the white people look the same.
Yeah.
Just,
damn.
There's a guy who sings later, and we've just spent the song going, is he, have we met him?
Yeah.
Is he a main character or is he new?
Yeah, we didn't realize.
But I'm looking at my notes and realizing it was a long time before we got to the episode's second song.
Yes!
Because they introduce like a huge number of characters. Then they kill one. Because there's like a second pairing of cops, which is like black cop and white cop. Because they're like friends and they love guns together.
Oh my God, this show is so cavalier with guns.
Oh, let's not jump to the chief scene just yet.
Oh my God.
Not yet, no, but like in this scene, he's like, the guy who ends up getting shot is like cocking a shotgun.
Oh, right.
The logo to the damn show is a gun.
And a music note.
And some musical notes. But like,
and it's literally under the gun. Like, cops don't live under the gun. They, if they're using the gun like that, I don't want them to be cops.
Elephant in the room, early 90s Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not the Los Angeles I remember.
Anyway, the cops, they get into like a chase and they chase a van and they like catch him and then a guy jumps out and like mows one down with an Uzi.
With an Uzi!
And the driver gets captured. And like, then we get a scene where the driver's interrogated.
Well, first the cop has to die.
Yeah.
So
Gilbert Braden dies.
Gilbert Braden dies. May his name live on forever in the name of the incarceration institution that he's going to be named after.
Yeah, what the hell? Oh my god.
Oh.
That's horrifying.
It is kind of terrifying when you put it that way.
Yeah.
But like, he dies and his partner
loses it.
Loses his mind.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That part makes sense.
It was a real, like, it was an honestly very good performance out of actor.
Oh, all of the acting has been great.
It was a great dramatic moment.
Nobody's not a bad actor.
That's true.
I mean, nobody is a bad actor. Yeah. Yes.
It was a great dramatic moment. If only he'd, you know,
sung about it.
Sung about it. Yeah, that would have been good.
It's a moment of high tension where you would normally have some sort of lament or some sort of song. If this were a normal musical, it's a place of heightened emotion. That's when you have a song.
And then we go right to like the bathroom scene.
Where we kind of...
What was that? We talked about prostate cancer? No. I put prostate with three exclamation points.
Well, like there's the forensic guy and lady cop's partner are in the men's bathroom together having a conversation while peeing. So it's one of those engaging conversations where both actors are stationary and facing away from us.
And they didn't even sing about peeing.
I'm pretty sure that it's actually like the police captain, not lady cop's partner.
No, because...
Because why would the cop be wearing a tie?
Maybe.
Beat cops don't
wear
ties.
This is the problem. All white people look alike in this.
Yeah.
All us podcasters are white for you listeners out there.
That's a good thing to know, actually.
Let's point that out. You don't know us out there. We can say this about white people because each one of us are assholes.
Yeah, it's true.
Where were we? Partner's dead. Bathroom scene where we learned. But I thought the bathroom scene, I thought the point of the bathroom scene was that the forensic guy finds his wife, who is Lady Cop's, hair on her partner.
No, wasn't even her partner. That was another cop.
Okay,
that was
I misread the scene entirely.
The quote is, he takes a hair off of, was it Chief Holland? No, Captain Hollander?
It was the captain. Oh, that's all I remember. Because there's the captain and there's the chief.
The captain was the guy who talked like this.
Yes.
Okay, that's the guy who... That's the guy from Spider-Man who doesn't give Peter Parker his wrestling money. So, the line... Yeah, you're welcome. The line is that forensics guy takes a hair off of the captain's shoulder and points out through the power of forensics that the hair is A, female, and B, not from the captain's wife.
Ooh.
Now look, I'm not a forensic scientist, but I'm...
but I play one on TV.
Do you need a... I didn't... Oh, I wish I did. Do you need a little more info than that? I don't know.
To determine the gender of a hair?
What gender is this hair?
And that it's not the wife's.
Well, that could just be a color.
Maybe hair. Just the color. I'll give him that one.
But gender, yeah.
No, that was pretty ridiculous.
And I loved it.
So next we have the scene, I think, where the lady cop is dropped off at her home.
Wait, hold on. I'm looking at my notes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we're getting to
yes, we are two dangerous love games where there could have been a song about dangerous love games.
Or like, we're partners in law. Let's be partners in love. Or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
But
yes.
None of that. Instead, we get a song. Like, she gets home. She and her partner have a moment of sexual tension, and then she gets out of the car, and it turns out her husband is the forensic specialist.
Who's a kind of schlubby older man. In the bathroom scene, he talks about how his pancreas is inflamed.
No, prostate.
I'm sorry, prostate is inflamed.
Please get it correct.
His prostate is inflamed, which is so embarrassing.
And then he sings.
Then he has his number. Oh man, he sings this boring, never-ending lament
about in his, how his wife is so beautiful.
In his tenor voice. And what's really bizarre about this is that it's done in a one-er. And it's just, the camera just pushes in on him the whole time he's singing the song. It's like a four, it felt like a 5-minute song.
It was a lot.
It probably at least 4 minutes.
I zoned out partway through the song, came back, and the song was still going.
I think it's called She Chose Me.
She Chose Me. It was interminable.
It was inexcusable.
Yeah.
I was outraged.
This is the character's second scene, I think. Like, how...
More important...
And the first one discussed his prostate.
Yeah. More important, this was our second song in the cop rock show. The show about cops singing.
It's the third. You gotta count the theme
song.
Oh,
we're counting Randy Newman.
I don't
Newman.
Count the theme song.
We're gonna get that song in every episode.
That's true.
They don't get a freebie.
But this song, I got a little jealous of anybody who, in 1990, was channel surfing and missed the first song. Just think about that for a second. Because remember, back in the day, people did this thing called channel surfing, where you just flipped around and stopped in the middle of something. So imagine you missed the first song, and then you're like, what's this? Oh, it's like a cop drama. Okay, I'll watch a cop drama. And then... She chose me. You would have lost your goddamn mind.
You would have at least wondered what was in your drink.
True dat.
Mm. I don't remember what comes next.
Oh, my next note is the chief.
Gun obsessed and Western obsessed chief.
Oh, this was the best character.
He's the best character. I'm all in for Chief Kendrick. Played by, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's the villain. He plays Cohagen in Total Recall. He's bad guy in RoboCop as well.
And he is the savior of the show.
Love him.
He is the first character that we meet who feels like he belongs in a musical. Because he's so over the top. He literally has like pet guns that he wants to take on his Western-style adventures.
So here's how this scene goes. Like, a cop comes in, wakes him, because he's sleeping in his office, and he wakes up, draws a, like, giant magnum on the cop.
Huge gun.
And he's like, oh, who's there? So, like, he's, like, sleeping in his office. Like, why would he have this? Is he paranoid?
Okay, not only is he sleeping in his office, but, like, he's sleeping in his office with a huge gun.
And his office is the police station.
Yes.
Like, what's going to happen in the police station?
Ernie Hudson wakes him up, by the way.
Ernie Hudson. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Of Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters,
yes.
And we got a bit of exposition where we learn that he has to, like, give a speech about the dead cop. And he seems completely disinterested and instead goes over to his box where he's got two beautiful silver six-shooters.
It's very confusing.
He then... walks, he's like, oh, I better get ready for the day then. And so he goes to hit a button on his desk. And you think that this button is going to call the secretary and ask her for some coffee or something. But no. Instead, a door behind the desk opens up and a cowboy mannequin is there.
And it like rolls out like, it's like a robot. It like rolls out like a robot.
Blinking eyes.
And the chief's like, put him up, partner. And then they like shoots it with like genuine bullets. He like actually shoots the robot.
You can tell because he's got multiple bullet holes in him. And more get added.
It was bizarre.
It shook my mind. I felt like we suddenly started watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's why we got excited. Murphy, you're absolutely right. This is the chief is the first character that feels like he belongs in a musical. So naturally, he does not have a song.
Nope. He does, however, get the and credit in the opener. Mm. So that's important. That means he'll be in every episode.
Yay.
Right, he doesn't have a song.
Or it was in his contract that he gets the and.
He has the perfect time for a song. Because he's like, he goes out there and makes a speech. And then the mayor comes up and makes a speech.
Oh, the mayor.
And the mayor, yes. Lady mayor, who's kind of frumpy. And
why you got to point out that she's a lady mayor?
Well... They need to know.
Because we don't know her name. Also, she's white. I can't tell anyone.
I believe it was Mayor Plank.
Oh, God, really?
Yes. So, yes, we have cut to the speech that the chief has to give about the dead cop. The Lady Mayor Plank says that she will build a new prison on the very spot that they are standing within 12 months, not a year, but 12 months.
Yes, 12 months.
To help with the overpopulation of the prison problem.
And, don't forget.
She'll name it.
She'll name it.
She'll name it after the slain cop.
What an honor.
What an honor that is. So we then follow the mayor to her office, where a contractor comes in and she says, I hope that you're going to build my prison. And he's like, oh, Mayor Plank, I certainly will. And he's got a briefcase. And then this character, whose name is Frank.
Frank and Plank.
Frank with Plank. So Frank pulls out his briefcase and says, oh, I got, and he starts singing. I don't even remember the song.
He had a great voice.
He had a great singing voice, but the song was Bupkis.
He's got three, sidekicks.
I'd like to point out that the actual RFP process is much less interesting than this.
Oh, what is RFP?
Request for purchase?
Oh, request for proposal.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, maybe that's what they're doing. They're, like, circumventing. She's, like, breaking the law to get a prison built.
Yes, so what ends up happening is that inside the briefcase is several stacks of money for the mayor and her cronies.
And a green light bulb.
So that when it opens up, it looks like it's radioactive. I mean, it's full of money.
It's kind of like the briefcase from...
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Which is clearly where they got that idea from.
No, this predates Pulp Fiction.
No way, really?
I'm sorry.
1990.
Dang. Pulp Fiction is derivative of cop rock.
So all I know about this song, all I can remember, is that I called it She's the One.
Yeah, You're the One. I wrote You Know That You're the One, but they sing variations of that. So yeah, something like that.
And this would be a good song if the mayor could sing.
But she can't.
All.
Yeah.
Oh, she's terrible. I don't get it, because why would you cast a bad singer in a singing role in a musical?
It boggles the mind.
It's not like she's a celebrity. It's not a celebrity who's like, her name's on it, so she sucks, but she sells. She's just a random person. Like, they couldn't have cast someone with singing chops?
So, without doing a second of research... we do know that this is a Stephen Bochco show who is famous for other cop dramas and as well as LA Law, I think, on top of that. Yes. So I feel like this is a musical show not made by people accustomed to musicals. So my guess, if I'm to come up with an answer to this, my guess is that the creators and writers and directors don't really know what good singing is.
But they're in Hollywood. Come on.
And for that but it's matter, not,
they're working outside of their area.
But you know who isn't working outside of his area? Randy fucking Newman, who is credited with all of the songs.
Yeah, but did he meet a single actor? Who knows?
They were all in the room with him in the intro.
Okay, so
we get like this scene where the cops have captured the driver of the van who was carrying the gunman, who it turns out, we learn, was, through this scene, was one of the perps from the first song who got out because the prisons were overcrowded.
I don't think that's where we found this out. I think we knew it immediately.
No, because the guy, they beat the name out of him.
Oh, they did beat the name out of him. By waterboarding him.
Oh, God.
They're brutal to him.
They're really awful.
Yeah, this show kind of becomes The Shield a few times.
Yeah.
Or wants to be.
So
predates it.
They've got this man handcuffed to the chair and they waterboard him with coffee until he pisses himself, I believe is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gets punched in the gut after he says he has to pee.
These are not good cops.
No.
No.
Then we leave this scene and we go to the random court scene.
Yes, and it's it's random because we've never seen the defendant before.
Oh, good. It wasn't just me.
No, he's brand new. He's
brand new. And it's a white guy, white drug dealer. But a high-end drug dealer? I'm not quite sure.
He's got a ponytail. So, yes, high-end drug dealer.
This is another scene that outraged me. Because we get, like, a witness up on the box. And then the prosecutor is questioning him. And one of the lines he literally tells the witness, he's being too dramatic. The prosecutor tells him that. How in a musical does a character tell another character they're being too dramatic and that character doesn't burst into song about it?
Axe, can I tell you something? In my notes, I wrote down something you said here. This is when you screamed at the show, "Sing, you fucker!"
You weren't wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to have to accept in Cop Rock there's going to be limited songs because it does complicate production to have musical numbers. So I'm thinking 4 per episode is what we can expect.
Got 5 in this one.
Oh, you're right. We did.
Oh, we did get 5. Forgot about the last one.
Anyway, yeah. the song we do get from this scene is Guilty, which admittedly is kind of awesome.
It was kind of the best song by far.
It was the only good song.
It was very jazzy gospel song about him being served justice and he's guilty. Oh, he's guilty.
And like it has production values.
Yeah.
There's like backup singers. It looks like a musical. All the other songs just kind of occur and frequently move nowhere. Yes.
But
like
this is
stay right there.
This one actually, they go so far as to have the stenographer open up his desk and there's a keyboard inside.
Which was very funny.
That was such a left field moment because there's been nothing else in this show that's been like that.
False, Chief.
Chief.
Oh yeah.
Chief didn't sing.
Chief had a shooting robot in his closet.
There was a movie that had something like that. I think
Westworld.
I think it was a Quentin Tarantino movie. I am unsure. Go proceed.
I'll scan my brain.
So we get through that scene, and I think we actually have already skipped over like 2 baby scenes because they're all the same scene.
Oh yeah, yes. She wants crack money.
She wants crack money,
and she loves her baby,
but not as much as crack.
Yeah, Lady Cop wants Patty the crack mama to get help, and crack mama Patty is like, I'm gonna start taking less crack. Step one in recovering is just taking less crack.
So, like, she, like, tries to... She leaves him a false tip to get $50 off the police. And then she gets angry at them when they won't give her more money. It's kind of weird. And, like, that's the last we see of her till the end of the episode.
And she's doing it while smoking a cigarette. So she clearly had some cash. But she had bummed this cigarette off. And, I mean, that's another addiction thing. This show does not present addiction well.
Look, the 90s, everybody smoked.
Crack.
Yes.
It's a good point. Smoking what? Like, she's just smoking. You know, it's a normal cigarette. She's not addicted to anything.
She's a bad guy. She's smoking a cigarette.
There is another cop who lights a cigarette with a cigarette in this episode, so...
That wasn't a cop. That was a judge.
It was a judge.
Anyway, after her scene, we actually get to a good part of the episode. Because I think the raid on the... They find where the gunner is hiding. The cop killer, as they call him. And, like, arrange a raid to go and take him. But when they get there, the cops who are on watch have already got him. Because he, like, spotted them and ran to his house. And they chased him into his house. And he's all smug because they arrested him without a warrant. They broke into his house without, quote, cause. This is, like, a real dilemma. Because it's, like, playing back to what happened at the start of the show. And I was coming out of Cleopatra, I don't expect things to pay off. So I'm like, oh, right. Some shows actually pay off their plots. And then, like, who is he? The detective?
The detective,
detective.
LaRusso? Are we talking about the one who's going to kill?
Yeah, LaRusso.
That's LaRusso.
He's the hard, kind of corrupt detective.
Yeah. He's the one that made me think of The Shield.
He just guns the perp down. And places a gun on his body. They, like, take the cuffs off him, stand him up, and gun him down. Because otherwise he would have gotten off. And it's, like, it's actually, like, a tense scene.
Yeah, because that presents a real moral dilemma for the other cops. Not for the cop who did the shooting. He's clearly made up his mind on this moral. dilemma.
There should have been a song there between the guy and the cop.
Oh, yeah. No, he should have shot him dead at the end of a song.
Yeah.
That's clear.
Yeah, imagine a dressing down song where he talks about police procedure to the two brash idiot cops. And then punctuates it at the end by shooting the man.
Oh, yeah. He could, like, storm around the house singing and throwing things. And, like, yep, making it look like he had a fight.
Yep.
That would have been a great song.
That would have been a great scene.
Wow. We're actually...
We're rewriting the show.
We're at the point where we're rewriting individual scenes of the show.
Here's the thing about Cop Rock. I'm pretty sure if you cut out all the songs and put in new songs where there should have been songs, it's kind of watchable.
If you completely rewrote the show and used the same actors, it would be great.
The box does point out, it says, show-stopping grandeur of musical theater.
No.
Now, well, wait a second. No, here's the thing. People seem to disagree with me on this. I always thought show-stopping was kind of an insult. Like, you're stopping the show. You're not progressing the show. You're not moving the plot along. A show-stopping number means, oh, the plot comes to a halt and we sing and then we get back in.
No.
So that's how I use it. I use it as a not positive thing.
Well, then you're using it wrong.
Yeah, because what a showstopper means is that you have to stop the show because of all the applause.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Tachi's right, because this are a showstopper.
That's my point. In this case, that's what a show-stopping number is.
Except it wasn't. It was a show borer.
Anyway,
it just made it more boring.
We have a couple more scenes to get through.
Yeah.
So the detective leaves the house and runs into like this FBI agent is introduced. I think he's
the Internal Affairs.
Internal Affairs, who like talks to the forensics guy, and he's like, "What happened here?" And the forensics guy like, "He went for a gun. Cop shot him." And the Internal Affairs guy is like, "Looks like he had handcuffs on." And the forensics guy is like, marks. No, 3 days old." And the Internal Affairs guy is clearly giving him a look like, "You're full of shit." And the forensics guy, he's like, "Is that your official report?" And the forensics guy's like, "Yeah." So Internal Affairs goes out and like confronts the detective and like up and tells him, like, "I know you just gunned that guy down." The detective is like, "Prove it, bitch."
It was pretty awesome. It was a good scene. There was tension and conflict.
If only there was singing.
Yeah, that song would have been great.
Almost all my notes on my second page are just, where are the songs? Like, just places where there should have been a song.
Yeah, I wrote, let's see, so I listed all the songs. Oh, I forgot, I didn't get to say the Patty to the Baby song at the end. But the better choices would have been the Bad Romance with the cops.
Yeah.
Right? The Gun Happy Chief, or the Cop Killer... With the cop, they like before he gets killed, there should have been a song.
Yeah, yeah.
So to sum up anyone who is trying to figure out the show as we are, just imagine a gritty cop drama. Then it cuts to a song happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then it goes back to gritty cop drama.
This episode ends on Patty. Is that
Patty?
Her?
Yep. Yeah.
Patty the crack mama.
Singing about her baby, like a song about you'll be asleep soon, and it's which, really like a, your baby's gonna die song.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. They thought she was dead through the whole song. I'm like, no, she's alive.
I didn't
alive.
Think she was dead.
Tachi thought she was.
I did, because she's singing "Close Your Eyes" and "Sandman's Coming Soon."
And she's been so protective of this baby the whole episode. She's like, "No, I love this baby. You need to make sure that the baby gets the right formula. Like, she can't have the regular formula. It's got to be special formula. I want my baby. I want my baby. I want my baby." What does she do?
She sells it for $200 at crack money.
Yep. That's to like, some guy.
This truck pulls up and out steps the baby merchant, who is...
That's future episode
that
intel.
I do have future episode intel, but the baby merchant is exactly what he is. Because he's like, "I'm going to buy this baby for $200. It's going to a great home."
Which, by the way, in 1990, wasn't a great amount of money.
No.
It's like, you know, it's like $200 now. Oh. Economics are terrible.
So $200 won't get you much, I'm saying.
See, that would have been a good song.
Ooh.
And then the show just abruptly ends. We were all kind of surprised.
I was not surprised. I was like, I literally said, fade to black, Stephen Bochco, and then the show cooperated.
And then faded to black and Stephen Bochco's name.
Well, we've established previously that your internal clock is perfect, so la-di-da.
Okay, but mine isn't, and I knew it was going to end.
Well,
I was like, this has got to be the last scene because something has actually happened.
So, that end actually gives me a little bit of hope for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Because when I realized this show isn't like episodic view in any order, and it's actually a serial, it made me think two things. One, maybe they were saving their better songs for later in people's plot arcs.
The pilot's supposed to be like the...
It was a mistake. Oh. Don't get me wrong. But like, maybe there will be better songs later in the show. Maybe they'll like figure out how the hell you do a musical.
There's hope.
And the other revelation was just how messy and impossible to follow later episodes are going to be. Because this one was difficult to remember.
Yeah.
And like, all the characters look the same. And they're going to be all entwined in their, like, how many plots are going
like
right now?
12.
There's like 12. And I think, like, I think the arrest, the guilting scene might have been setting up another plot line. Like, it wasn't nothing. It was kicking off this guy's plot line.
I mean, this is a lot of stuff to introduce in a pilot.
It is absolutely not how you do a pilot.
No. You make a good show for a pilot.
Yeah, you make one episode with a plot. And I guess this had the gunner plot, the cop killer.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell what was the main plot of the episode.
Bad cops.
Because they never sang about anything that seemed important.
No.
Did anyone here ever watch, like, NYPD Blue or anything?
No.
No.
Rachel?
It was on after my bedtime, if you believe it or not, because my bedtime was, like, 8. My mom was very strange. That's because she wanted to go to sleep. So, like, I was a teenager and I had a flashlight that I would just read under my blanket. Not the flashlight, but books with the flashlight. I hope that was clear.
Like, there clearly should have been a duet between the chief and the mayor when they were given their speech.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a great place to have a song.
It would have been a great song and an entertaining song where the chief is like, we need to stop killing cops, and the mayor is like, proper procedure.
Except she was super into bribes.
And the, about the killing the cop killer, that needed to be a song.
Yes.
It ruined the episode that wasn't a song.
Yes. That's what ruined the episode for you? Okay. All right.
It's what made me realize how little they understood their own premise.
Yeah. I kind of got that at the beginning when the perpetrators of whatever crime they were, the people in the house, all of a sudden flash mobbed the cops who were arresting them.
But at least that seemed like it had something to do with the episode.
Yeah.
No, it didn't, because it started out like a gritty cop drama with bad cops. It was clearly going to be a show about crooked cops going in to do whatever it takes to take down crime in a neighborhood. And then you had a bunch of really happy rappers. They're like, we're going to get out tomorrow.
Y'all are thinking about this like it's a TV show. This is two TV shows fighting for time.
Go on.
Oh, that's what I got. That's going to be every episode. Every episode is going to alternate between two tones. Two entirely different styles. And we get to cut back and forth between the cop show and the musical.
Okay.
I'm not.
What year was NYPD Blue? That was in the 90s, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It was on in the 90s, but I believe it started in the 80s.
Explain my bedtime.
Because, yeah, I stand by that this is a musical made by people who are maybe like writers and a crew that are not accustomed to musical theater. They're accustomed to the cop drama. So they're not really sure how to approach the musical scenes. Hmm.
But they could have hired someone who understood it.
Like Randy Newman.
Randy.
Oh.
So now that we've watched this this pilot episode of Cop Rock.
Uh-huh.
Does this show deserve to be on our show?
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
I don't think it deserved to be greenlit.
Well, you see, somebody made a deal with Frank in an office somewhere.
They had a briefcase full of glowing money.
Or glowing cocaine.
So here's a one hope I have for this show. That the reveal of the show is going to be that half the characters are unaware they're in a musical. And they're like, a musical number is going to hit them and they're going to be shocked by it. I know it won't happen, but it would be such a good twist. If, like, the detective is just, like, suddenly they start singing, and he's like, what the hell is happening?
Why are there keys where the stenographer is supposed to be working?
Hmm. Oh, that's right. He's witnessed this before, but he just didn't sing. So let's compare it to Cleopatra. Do you think so far it's worse than Cleopatra? About the same?
I think Cleopatra was... As a Sam Raimi?
Yeah.
Yes.
Executive producer.
Executive produced show, it's much more conscious that it's ridiculous.
Mm.
Like, this show really thinks it's serious.
It plays it so tight to the chest and so straight.
Except for
during
the chief.
The songs.
Except for Chief.
And the Chief, yeah. Yep.
How many episodes are there?
11.
Oh God.
We got 10 more hours.
That's right.
10 more hours of life to get sucked away.
You know, I don't know that I like you guys that much. 10 more hours? No, I do like you.
Aw, thanks, Rachel. But do you like Cop Rock?
Eh.
Well, somehow we're going to have to screw up the courage to watch more and report back to you fine listeners. That's going to do it for us, I think, tonight here on The Worst Show on Earth. If you like this podcast, please do share it with a friend and leave us a rating on your podcast listening platform of choice. It'll help us grow our audience and get things moving. And if you want to hear more of us riffing, Alex, Tachi, and myself are on twitch.tv/scabbyrooster most Sundays as the Demi Dozen. It's an RPG show where we play a game called Scion, Second Edition, in a world where the gods are real and all the myths are true. Modern men and women weave new legends. But until next time, enjoy your media, no matter how crappy it is. To you, my dear, I want to make it clear. I want to thank the jury.